We're in Ephesians chapter 6, and we're beginning at verse 1, and it says this: Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth, and that you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. And so you've probably already realized that this morning we're going to have a little bit of a Mother's Day sermon, and we're going to speak particularly on these few words from this commandment that the Apostle Paul quotes when he says this: honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And we're going to look at it particularly at this: honor your mother. Honor your mother. I was thinking a little bit about Mother's Day, and so I Googled special days, and realized there are some days that are listed as being, maybe even categorized as being, special days for one reason or another. They're really kind of silly or ridiculous. The first one that I came to, because they were listed in order of months, and so in January, the first one was Polar Dip Day. This was a day, I assume, where you jump into the lake, crack the ice, and make a hole and jump into the lake. This did not seem something that would be good for me. In fact, the older I get, the warmer the water has to be before I get in at all. So that was something that didn't seem to be too important day for me. The second one was Buffet Day. And it seems in the times that we are living, we're probably losing that wonderful thing called the buffet. From years ago, when Monique was sick, the doctors had told her that was one thing that she needed to stay away from, was buffets, because of the possibilities of infection. So we really haven't been up on our buffets, and so I would probably prefer a Jimmy Buffett Day. And there was things like Birds Day, which I'm sure that Sue would appreciate, and Flower Day, which she would also appreciate. There was also one called Hug Your Hound Day. And that I do, and appreciate that day as well. There was others that were really, really just totally inappropriate. One was a Don't Wear Clothes to Work Day. And as one of our ministers found out, that is truly an inappropriate thing to do. And Will Amos probably won't do that again. So all of these days were kind of silly. But what about Mother's Day? And Mother's Day certainly isn't found in the Bible. There isn't the exhortation in the Bible that we should have this special day for our mothers. But what it does say in the Bible, and that we have read, is this: that we should honor our mother. And so if there is a day then, like today, that we are called upon to honor our mother, then it is scriptural. And it may be that this day, which is just a marker along the way, that we are to be reminded of this fact, that God has commanded us in His Word to honor our mother. Ephesians is a wonderful book, and the Apostle Paul starts out the book with some really deep teaching in regards to what we are in Christ. He starts out by saying that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. And he goes on to say that we have been reconciled to God in Christ. We have been redeemed in Christ. We have the Holy Spirit in us in Christ. And he goes on and on and on, and continually brings it that we are in Christ, that we are in the Beloved, that we are in Him. It is a position that we have been given because of what Christ has accomplished on the cross of Calvary. And that those who have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior are now in Christ, and they are blessed with all of these spiritual blessings. But then as he carries on down through the book, he begins to say, because you are this, because God has done this, since you are this, then you should walk in this way. This is the way you should behave. This is what you should be characterized as. And he begins to go on and say, chapter 4 and verse 1, he says, therefore, as prisoners of the Lord, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you have been called. And he goes on to say, with lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing one another in love. And then he goes on to emphasize how that we should react one with another as those who have this position in Christ, then that we should walk and how we should interact with one another. And he says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also loved us and has given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice. And he tells us that we should put off the things that we were before, fornication and uncleanness and covetous. And he says, and put on the new man, and the fruit of the Spirit should be in us. And he says that we, verse of chapter 5, that we should walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then he says this, and you will find almost this exact same verses in Colossians chapter 3 as he comes up with this same as he speaks of the same thing that we have read here in chapter 6, speaking of the family and domestic. He says this, do not be drunk with wine, which is in dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourself to one another in the fear of the Lord. And so before he gives us this real breakdown of what a family life should be, he says, this is what we should be like as a family together, the church, one another. And he over and over he says this term, that this is how you should treat one another. And then he says in verse 21, as we have read, submitting to one another in the fear of God. We will read it. If we had read it earlier in chapter 5, we would have found we're speaking of the husbands or of the wives submitting to their husbands. But here he says that we are all submitting ourselves to one another. And so as he comes to that, where he has said that now that because of what we are in Christ, this is the way that we should be walking. And then he brings it down in terms, and so he's brought it down in terms of how we are with one another. That is the church. But then he says, this is how it should be within the family. And this is the family that is walking in the Lord, that is filled with the Spirit is what we have here. Schofield says it this way, the domestic life of a Spirit-filled believers as children and parents. And so that's the perspective that the Apostle Paul is coming to as he gives us this. And it is a commandment. Honor your mother. It's a commandment from God. It's not a suggestion. It's not a suggestion that has limits to it. In other words, the commandment is without limits in terms of time. And so we are called here to honor our mother, not just while we are here, not just while we are at a certain age. So it does not say that we are to honor our mother till we turn 16 and then we know more than her and we know more than our parents. And so therefore at that point we can stop honoring them and we just honor ourselves. That's not what it says. And so it doesn't say even that we are to stop honoring our mother when we move out of the house. And we start our own life away from the family, and then we're supposed to stop honoring our mother. That's not what it says. We are to honor our mother. And in fact, the idea of children here is not just little children, but it is offspring. It's she's your mother because you were in her womb, and you were born to her. She suffered the labor for you, and so you are called to honor your mother without limit as far as time, without limit as far as exceptions. Well, my mother doesn't need to be honored. She's not honorable. But that's not what it says. It says you are to honor your mother. But what does it mean to honor? If we go back to the Old Testament where this verse is quoted from in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, the Hebrew word, and I think it's pronounced kabad, and it just means heavy. It means to be heavy, and that seems kind of strange. If you remember from the story of Eli at the end of his life. And it's at the end of, or in 1 Samuel. And in 1 Samuel, it talks about Eli who at the end of his life, everything seems to be going wrong. The Philistines have taken over, and they have won the battle against the Israelites. His family is falling apart and is dysfunctional because his two sons do not honor him and do not respect him, and they are not living a godly life. And so things just seem to be all falling apart. And then, to cap it all off, the Ark of the Lord, the Ark of the Covenant, is taken out of the place that it should be, and it is taken by the Philistines. And the message comes to Eli, and he is on his chair, and he's leaning back on his chair, and it's very, very descriptive of what happens, that Eli is there leaning back on his chair. He falls off of his chair backwards, and he dies. And it says that he was heavy. Same word. That hardly makes sense when we think of this. What does it mean? But then we understand how that words are used sometimes in different ways. And the word heavy, even as we use it sometimes, is it means weighty. It's deep. We would say, well, that's heavy, man. And what we are saying is that's not a frivolous thing. That's not a light thing. That's something that is deep. That's something that is important. And so it is, when we speak of honor, it is the thought of respect. It is the thought of the depth of it. And so we will find that the root of the word is actually comes from the word that we use, glory. As we're speaking of God, God is worthy of honor. He is worthy of glory. He is worthy because it is heavy. He is deep. In Deuteronomy chapter 28 and 28, it says, "Thou wilt do observe all the words in this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name of the Lord God." The word glorious is this word kabod, heavy. The same word. In Psalms chapter 22 and verse 23, it says, "Ye that fear the Lord, praise him, all ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him, honor him." Same word. Honor him and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. And so the word really means to honor, to respect, to revere with fear. It is to understand the position, the authority that one has, and so therefore to honor them. And it speaks of it in terms of very serious. This is the fifth commandment. This is the commandment that God has given to his people. And God says, here's five things that are critically important. And he comes to this one: honor your mother. And he says, the opposite is also critical. In Leviticus, it says, "Cursed is everyone who treats his father or mother with contempt." Same root word. "All of the people shall say, Amen." And so the idea there is that we are not only to respect our mother, but we are not to disrespect her either. And it is really critical that we understand the depths to which God is saying the importance of this when he says that they are cursed. This is a curse. If you are disrespecting, that you will be cursed. And so the fact is that we need to honor and respect and revere and esteem God, and we are also to honor our mothers. But the Greek word that we would have read from Ephesians chapter 6, which was translated honor, has a little bit of a different, and it has more to do with value. And so it would sometimes be translated as value or precious. It speaks of the Lord's blood being precious blood, valuable blood. That's the idea, that it is something that we should esteem as being valuable, as being precious, as being a prize. And so as we think of it in terms of God, then we are called to honor him. We are to recognize that he is precious. In Revelations, we read this: "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor," or to receive glory and honor and power, For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are, and they were created. And then chapter 5, it says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. The Lord is worthy of all honor. You see, when we think of God, we are thinking of one who deserves honor and glory. But there is none of us who deserves honor and glory. But we have been given it by a position that God has given us. And so it is clear that we should honor God, but in that honoring of God, we are also to honor our mother. Why? Well, first of all, because God has commanded it, as we have already mentioned. God has commanded that we honor our mother. And secondly, we are to honor our mother because she holds a position of God-given authority. We could remember from the book of Genesis how that God had created man, and he had put him in the garden, and he had put him in control of the things that were round about him. In other words, God had given him authority over the animals and over the kingdom, and whether or not he has done a good job with that, that's another thing. But God had given that authority to him. And then he says, it's not good for you to be alone. And so in the ultimate arranged marriage, God makes for him a woman, and they become two. They become one flesh. We have that right there in the book of Genesis. There is this relationship that is unlike anything else in the world, and it is this between a man and a woman. They become one flesh, and they start this structure that God has designed, that God has planned, that God has made, and it's called a marriage. And it's two in partnership. It's a man and a woman together, walking together, not with the woman in front as the feminists would like, and not with a man in front as some men would like, but together in a partnership. And then God says to the ministers, for this reason, you've got to cultivate the earth, you've got to work, and you've got to look after all of those things that Adam was already given to do, but also you to be fruitful and to multiply. You're to have children. And then God says to them and makes it clear through the Word of God that your responsibility then as parents has this team of two where the head is God, and then there is the parents who are together in this work, and their responsibility is to bring up these children in the ways of the Lord. That's what we read. That you're not to provoke your children to anger, but to bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. So the responsibility that God has placed upon the parents then is to bring these children up in the training of the Lord. And so God had designed this and given this the position of a mother. And God has given that position of authority in the church, in the home, and in the government. And it is a place of authority that God has given, placed under him. In the church, there is the under-shepherds. There is the elders. In the home, there is the parents and the mother. And in the government, there is kings and authorities. But then, how do we honor our mother? Just four practical ways. There's lots more in the Word of God, but let's think of four practical ways that we can honor our mother today that we should be doing every day. And the first one we've read in verse 1 of our chapter, it says this, children, obey your parents. And the mothers now can elbow their kids, say, did you hear that? And it is true. But all of us also have to remember that we all have mothers. And so that commandment goes to us as well. And you may even say, well, is there any difference between honoring your mother and obeying your mother or your parents? But there is a difference. Honoring, as we have been reminded, is an attitude of the heart. It's an attitude. It's an understanding who God is, understanding his position. And then obeying him would be to do what you are told, to submit to him, to follow his commandments, to follow his word, to follow his direction, to accept his teaching. Matthew, the Lord Jesus Christ could say, there are people that honor me with their lips, but with their hearts they are far from me. And sometimes that's the way that we obey. We obey just because I don't want to get caught. We obey because, well, there's some strict rules and there's some strict penalties, and if I don't follow those rules, I'm going to get that penalty, and I don't want to pay that fine. I don't want to. But that's not how God says that we should be following the rules. God says what we have here is that we do this, that we obey, because we are honoring. We are honoring to God. It is an attitude of obeying. And so it's still the right thing to do, to follow the rules or whatever it is, the laws, or what my parents have told me to do. But I need to do it in an attitude of honoring God. That's the critical thing. In fact, the verse says, children, obey your parents. And then it says this, in the Lord. In the Lord. And then it says this, because this is right. This is the standard that God has set. This is the authority that God has given to them to obey them. Now, this will change as we grow older. This takes a different perspective as we grow older, because when the baby is just come out of the mother's womb, and there it's totally dependent upon the mother. Everything that is required for life for that baby has to be given to it by the mother. But the baby can't obey the mother. It's too young. But then it comes to an age where it begins to understand instructions. It begins to understand what it's been told to do. And it's required then by this to obey, to follow the instructions of parents. And then as it gets older, then the parents begin to see that they're maturing, and then they're getting to a different level. And so that obeying becomes different. They begin to give them different instructions, and they begin to give them a little more. You have to make your own decision on some things. You're getting older. You're going to have to make some decisions about your schooling, about what you're going to wear today. Some of those little decisions that your mother made for you, and my wife still has to say, okay, well, I have to put out this tie because it doesn't go with those shoes and jacket. But that's because I'm colorblind. That's not because. but as you grow older, your parents are going to give you more and more leeway to get your own direction. And so the laws will change. And then at some point you might move out. And so you're going to have to set your own rules, your own household rules. Doesn't take away the fact that you are called to honor your parents and to listen to their instruction, but it does mean that it will change somewhat. Let me explain it this way. When I was in high school, I don't know, 15 years old or something, I started to get interested in, well, no, I didn't get start to get interested. I was interested in sports. My parents were fairly strict growing up, and they wouldn't allow me to go into school sports, anything structured, like teams of sport, something like that, and they explained it to me that they believed that it was an unequal yoke. They believed that being on a team was not good for a Christian, and so that's how they taught me growing up. But then I came to this age where I was older and going to school, and my parents had started that of where they were giving me more responsibility, making decisions on my own and starting to make decisions. And my father had talked to me about some of those things and said, listen, you have to get into the Word of God yourself. You have to understand yourself as a young man who professes to be a Christian, professes to be a follower of Christ. You have to make these decisions yourself for me to tell you okay to do this or that. And so one of the things that I wanted to do was play some sports. And so I started on the football team. And that went okay, but I'll be honest with you, I it was a bad atmosphere. It was the early 70s, and we were just getting out of the 60s, and it was drugs and alcohol and all kinds of things that weren't appropriate, and it was a bitter situation. And so I finally said, you know, this just isn't in for me. It was, you know, there was the constant bullying of some of the people in it. It was just a bad atmosphere. So I finally said, okay, this isn't for me. I got to do something else. And so then I went on the running team, the cross-country team, and that seemed to work out well despite some initial glitches. And so I started really on this team. And we were doing pretty well, and our team did really well. We went to some Ontario finals, and we came in the top two, and I hadn't told my parents. They knew that I was running because I was going to school early every morning, and I didn't lie to them at all. I told them I was going. I told them that I was going running. But as it happens, I think what happened was it was in the local newspaper that our team had, the cross-country team had won the Ontario finals or in the top two or three or something. And the little Scarborough Mirror had a picture of the cross-country team. And I tried to keep that newspaper out of the, you know, we didn't read it all the time anyways. So, but the next-door neighbor phoned my mother and said, oh, you must be really proud of your son. And so my mother and my father sat me down, and I remember the conversation that they had with me. And it was this: that's your decision. You're making that decision before God. We have allowed you. We're trying to develop you. We're trying to teach you. That's your decision. And, you know, and they said, you really need to come to an understanding of it as far as God is concerned and how you think that God feels about it. It's not really ours. And so I was expecting to get a lecture on not running cross country. I didn't get that from them. Instead, I got from my parents wise instruction on how to grow and how that I was responsible myself before God to come up from His word. So the obedience, it changed as you begin to get older. And so honoring is an attitude of the heart. Obeying is doing what you've been told, but it grows as you grow. It says this: fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. And one of the ways, and that word really actually is more of a parent. So mother and father, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. And really you could see it in that kind of a concept is by teaching them and admonishing them as they grow up in a proper way and not treating them younger than what they are. And so as they grow older, they begin to learn more and they take more responsibility and they have to, and if they are making the statement that they are in the Lord, that they are Christians, then they have to make some decisions upon their lifestyle based upon being in the Word of God. So the first one is, children, obey your parents. The second one is to receive instructions. The Solomon in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 says, listen, my son, to your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teachings. The Apostle Paul writes this to Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. And if we were to read earlier in that book, we would find out that when Timothy was a little child, it was his mother and it was his grandmother that were teaching him the things of the Lord. They were women of faith. And so the Apostle Paul, as he's saying here, that you have learned them from a child, it wasn't from the Apostle Paul that he had learned these things, because Paul didn't know him when he was a child. This was his mother and his grandmother instructing him in the ways of the Lord. And the Apostle Paul could say, as you have learned the Word of God, it was that. It was the Word of God. It wasn't your mother and your grandmother who saved you, but it was God who saved you through His Word, through salvation that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And so the thought then is that we are, as children, to receive the instruction And we as parents are to give that instruction in the Lord, to bring them up in the discipline and the instruction that comes from the Lord. Teach them about authority. Teach them that you have authority. And this is where we're going wrong in our generation. We need to teach to respect and not to disrespect. And Proverbs says there's a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. And there is a generation, perhaps we are in it now, where the parents have idolized their children, where the parents have taught their children that they are wonderful no matter how they act or what they do. They have taught their children that they do not need to follow authority, that they just need to find their own way and do whatever they think is right in their own eyes, and that is not the way of God. And that is not the way that we need to teach our children. We need to teach them both about the authority of God and about the authority of God's word, but we also need to teach them about the authority of other things, such as us as being their parents, such as the authority of government and the authority of the church. There needs to be the teaching of authority. There needs to be a respect for that authority. In fact, Peter will say in chapter 3, I believe, of 1 Peter, that we are to honor the king. We are to honor the king. And you say, well, you know what? I can't honor Doug Ford. Look at all the mistakes he's making. Look at what kind of things are happening in all of this. And yet, Peter, when he would say, honor the king, his emperor was Nero, who was slaughtering the Christians, who was one of the worst emperors in terms of violence against the Christians that there was. There were lots of awful things to be said about Nero and about his authority and his reign, and yet Peter doesn't say anything about that. What he does say is this: honor the king. And so we need to teach our children. There is a real problem in our society of lack of respect for authority. And it comes from our homes. It comes from a start in our homes. And it is a teaching that is very clear in the Word of God. The writer of the Hebrews says this: furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? We had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. And so that authority that we teach our children to have, that we have, that is over them, we need to teach them also for other authorities as well. I remember a family years ago, and they were homeschooled and really only had been taught authority in the home. So they didn't know about authority to teachers or authority to outside government authorities. And so as the Sunday school superintendent, I had an awful time with those children because they would say to me, you're not my father, you're not my mother, you're not my parent. You can't tell me what to do. And that was a constant voice from them because they had not been, in my opinion, taught the authority that was outside the home, that there were other authorities other than just the mother and father. The Old Testament says, and every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. And so we can honor our mother by respecting her and not disrespecting her. And finally, we can honor our mother by providing for her needs. It says this in Acts chapter 28, verse 10. And this is the story where Paul had been in the shipwreck, and they were on the island of Malta, and the people of Malta didn't know really who they were, and they were kind of just getting to know them and wondering just what they were up to. But then they saw God working mightily in them, and they recognized that they were followers of Christ. And it says this, when they went to leave that place, they had been with them alone. These people had helped save them from the shipwreck and all of that. And it says this about those people in Malta to Paul and Luke and whoever else was there. It says, and they, this is Acts chapter 28, verse 10, and they honored us in many ways, and when we departed, they provided such things as was necessary. What is it saying? It's saying this. These people honored them. They recognized them. They honored them because of they recognized that they were Christians and they were acting in such a way. And so what did they do? They provided them with what they needed. They provided them with the necessities that they needed. They recognized that these people that they honored had a need, and so they put aside and they provided for that need. We can provide something for the needs of our mothers today. And it might not be that we, you know, have to send her a check or provide food, whatever it is, but it's just taking that time to acknowledge her. That's probably what she needs. She's probably alone and separated and not doing the things that she would like to be with her grandkids and with all of that. And so it is so important of that contact. Growing up for us, I think, of Mother Days, it would be Swish-A-Lay. You know, every Mother's Day, we would go to Swish-A-Lay, take our mother to Swish-A-Lay, because that would mean that she wouldn't have to go to all the trouble of making the meals, that she would do so much on a Sunday and put everything together and all of this stuff. And today, Mother, you are going with us. We're going to Swish-A-Lay seemed to be the Gospel Hall Church or the Brethren Church, the Brethren Restaurant, I don't know. But that was it. And you know, for Mom, she appreciated that. That's what she needed. That's what she needed, was to be with her family and not have to do all of this other stuff. And so we honored our mother, and later on, my wife, by going to Swish-A-Lay. It was good, except for once, when they ran out of chicken. Mother's Day, they ran out of chicken. I think it was all those hungry people from Markham, but we didn't get there in time because we sat there for 3 hours on that Mother's Day and there was no chicken at Swish-A-Lay. And that's what Mother needed, was some chicken from Swish-A-Lay. But the point here is this. Just like those people in Malta who honored them, who honored Paul and they honored God by providing for them what they needed. And that's what we're called to do this day on this Mother's Day, is to honor our mother by providing her something that she needs. Whatever it is. Maybe it's a card. We have on our bathroom. And it's, well, I won't say. But it's in our bathroom. And it came 1 year ago from our youngest granddaughter on Mother's Day. For my wife, for her grandmother. And in that little text, she did it herself. It's a painting. She's fairly artistic, but she just wrote on it, you know, we love you. We honor you. In other words, she was saying, we honor you, Nana. We recognize what you have done, what you have provided for us, what your love has been like and what you have provided in our lives. And so I just want you to know that we love you and that we think about you and you are in our heart even though you are apart, something like that. And then a little drawing. And you know what? This was just a year ago and all the, you know, just the starting of all this mess that we are in. And it was what Monique needed. It was exactly what she needed. It was some honor from her granddaughter. So we are called to do that. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 5. It says this, "Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brethren." So here's this concept of honor, that we are to have honor, not just to mothers, but to our mothers. Not just to our fathers, but to our fathers. Not just to our mothers and fathers, but also to older men, to older women. This is what it's saying. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows who are really widows. If any widow has children or grandchildren, let them come to learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. To repay their parents. This is exactly what I was saying that we read of from Acts, when those they honored them. They honored them. They'd seen them what they did. And now these children who and grandchildren who are in the Lord, they honor their grandparents, their grandmother, by showing piety and repaying their parents. For this is good and this is acceptable before God. Now she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers day and night. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. And these things command that they may be blameless. And anyone who does not provide his own, and especially for those of his household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. We need to provide for those who we are honoring. Whatever way it is needed, whatever way it is required, it is called. We are called by God himself to do this. And so there's just the four ways that we are thinking about this morning. Children, obey your parents. Children, receive instructions. Children, respect and don't disrespect. And children, honor by providing for your mother's needs. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, you all know that that's the chapter of the cross. And he says seven different things, but one of the things he says is a conversation that he has with John, his friend, his close compadre, his brother in the Lord, his one of his disciples that he had an inner circle with. And he says this. Then in this is verse 26 of chapter 19. Then Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple to whom he loved standing by. You've got to understand this picture. The Lord Jesus Christ is on the cross. He's been on the cross for a while. He has suffered in a way that we cannot understand. He's about to cry out that those words, "It is finished, it is completed, the work of God has been accomplished." He has experienced the darkness of the hours when he could cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And there upon that cross, he looks and he sees his mother. And he sees the disciple that he loved standing by. And he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. The Lord Jesus Christ, upon the cross of Calvary, looks across and he sees his mother there. And he thinks about the need of his mother. And he tells his best friend, this one who is in the inner circle of his life, that he is to take care of his mother because he is not going to be there in a physical way. And so he says, in a practical statement, the Lord Jesus Christ says, in honoring his mother, says to John, "John, I'm in essence," says to John, "I am going, I am leaving, I am physically not going to be here. My mother is getting older. My mother is going to need someone to kind of look out for her. John, I want you to take that position on." The Lord Jesus Christ, in honoring of his mother, provided for her needs. Let's pray. Father, we just come into your presence now. We give you thanks for this time that we can be reminded from your word of the requirement that we have as those that are in the Lord to honor our mothers. And we pray, some of us, our mothers are in heaven. Some of us, our mothers are in different places. Some of our mothers are here, but we pray for them. Some of them are the mothers of our children, and we pray for them. We pray for all of their needs. We pray that we might be those as husbands and fathers and sons, that we might be those who truly honor, and daughters might truly honor our mothers, and that even specifically on this day, that we might honor them in a way that is pleasing to you. We thank you for them. We thank you for what they have sacrificed in order to be mothers, and we just pray that their blessing would be upon them. So we give you thanks for this opportunity. We pray this as we would turn to remember you in the way that you have appointed, and we give thanks in our Savior's precious name. Amen. So we're